come shore to thy shore and just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, my dear Lord, let it be. Let's go sing the first verse. Well, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong, and I'll be satisfied as long, oh, as I walk, well, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. It's mine. one more time. And just a closer walk with Thee. Hey, Jesus, it's my plea. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, will give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, yes, when I am alone, will give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am in prayer, oh, when I am in prayer, well, when I am in prayer, oh, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, yes, when I come to die, oh, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. One more time. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Amen. You can have all this world. Amen. I'll take Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother Billy, if you can just keep playing that softly, we're going to open the service in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother David Whitlock if he'll come and take these prayer requests before the throne. I want to welcome each of you to the service this afternoon. We want to
continue to remember our sister Angela Pritchard, who's away in Michigan. We want to remember Brother Ethan and Sister Anna Pritchard, who are away today. We want to remember Sister Caitlin Sylvester, who's traveling to Arizona. We want to continue to remember her father in prayer, like Brother Barry mentioned this morning, of him having a heart attack on the weekend. So we want to remember him and Sister Caitlin as well as she's traveling. We want to remember Brother Keith, who is traveling for work, driving. So we want to remember him today. We want to remember Sister Sarah Buchanan, who is at home or with her back and is in a lot of pain. So we want to continue to remember prayer. We want to remember the words daughter-in-law Tammy in prayer as well, who's scheduled for a C-section on Tuesday. So we want to remember her in prayer. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, you just make it known, Lord. Brother David.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we just come before you tonight, Father God, Lord, just to give you glory and give you honor, Lord, and just thank you, God, that we have this opportunity here to meet as a collective body, Lord, and your portion of the bride that meets here, Lord, Father, and just worship you and just take the time just to tell you that we love you. And we just thank you for just everything you do for us, Lord. Father God, Lord, we couldn't make it through the days without you, Father, Lord, not even an hour or a minute, Lord, without you providing for us and taking care of us. And Lord, we just give you the glory and the honor for all of that. Father, you've heard these requests mentioned, Father, of these different people with that are hurting, have surgeries, that are traveling, Lord, Father, and have desire to be here, Lord, and can't. Father God, we just ask that you would just minister to their hearts, Lord, Father God, to fill those voids where they want to be here and they long and desire to be here, God. But just pray that you would just minister to their hearts, Lord. Minister to those that are in the hospital, to those that are at home and not feeling well. Lord, Father, we just ask for you just to touch them in your own special way, God, that we know you can and will do. Lord, Father, as we enter into this service, Father, we ask that you would just bless Brother Barry, Lord. Give him the words that we need to hear today, Father. Lord, you've spoken to our hearts already today. And Father, when we come through those doors, we always come expecting to hear from you, Father and Lord. And we know tonight will not be any exception. But we ask that you would just help us to pull on the gift, Lord, Father, that we may receive everything you have for us tonight. Lord, we just praise you and we honor you and we just dedicate this moment to you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. Turn and shake hands with those that are around you. Welcome them to the service, and then you may have your seats. I'm going to sing Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Do we know that? I hope so. There we go. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of a thousand to my soul. Oh, the lily of the valley, in him alone I see, and all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Well, in sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of a thousand to my soul. All my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart. And now he keeps me by his power. side shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do His blessed will. Amen. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He, my hungry soul shall fear. Well, then sweeping up to glory, oh, we'll see His blessed face. Where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Well, I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. We'll sing it. Well, in sorrow He's my comfort, and in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Amen. We're going to have the choir come, and while they're coming, we're going to sing. I just lost it. We'll sing, I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Come on up. The mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, oh, Thy faithfulness. And with my mouth shall I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Thank you. Amen. We're going to ask our ushers to come at this time. That was awesome. Brother Jeff, if you could ask a blessing on the offering. Amen. We're sing, Lead Me, Lord, I'll Follow. So get ready to change the order of the service and Brother Barry comes. See. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go.
As the song the choir sang said, and I will chase your will. Lord, give us that desire to chase His will. Not just to know His will, but to chase it and pursue it. What a passionate desire that only the bride can have. Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be able to worship in your presence, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Come, I pray now, in the volume of the book and speak to our hearts. Bless those who are making that step. Baptism tonight, we commit them into your care, Lord. Minister to every heart and every soul. Be the healer, the comforter, and the guide tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Malachi 4, verse 1. Now, I want to pick up just a little bit from this morning and just add a little piece that I did not add this morning. And so that's why I call this part 11.5, because it's not really a full part, but it's a half a part. So Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. We are very familiar with the last portion of Malachi 4. Verse 5 speaks of the spirit of Elijah that comes back in John the Baptist. And then, of course, in verse 6, in the last days, prophet to the Gentiles. Let's read verse 1 and 2, if you don't mind. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this evening. Now, first of all, I apologize for not having my jacket. Sister Becky has it. Secondly, I wanted to announce this evening, formally and officially, that David and Jesse Cockman have decided to make HBT their home. And we just want to welcome them this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus with their children, Joseph, Noah, and Sophia. Right? May God bless you. Welcome aboard. That's about as official as it gets, and that just means you get to stack chairs and tables when we have a dinner. I mean, that's really all that means, right? Guests don't have to do that, but locals do. So we welcome you, and may the Lord richly bless you. John and Jennifer are not here this evening, and they regretted not being able to be here this evening. So let me just do this very quickly, all right, because I don't want to take away from the baptismal service that we have tonight. And let me add that whenever we have a baptism, we have two candidates this evening who are going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invited Matt Cross to help me baptize Jeremy this evening because Brother Matt's been instrumental in helping to minister to Jeremy. And so he'll be helping me tonight. But we have plenty of water. And so if there's anyone else here tonight that would like to make that step, you're certainly welcome to do it. You don't need any other permission or direction, except when we baptize, you're welcome to come up and come into the pool and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's certainly a good thing to do, and it's certainly a great hour to do it in. Now let me make a little comment here this morning and say that about the Battle of Gog and Magog. And whenever, without fail, whenever you bring this scripture up, it's a very, it's kind of a curious one for people. And I had comments on it this morning here, and certainly not bad comments or negative comments, but the statement that Brother Branham makes here about the Battle of Gog and Magog and the Battle of Armageddon are separated by 1,000 years, right? We understand that. And they are not connected in that sense chronologically. They're not connected because something happens between those two battles. But they are connected in this sense that these battles happen as a result of rebellion and disobedience against God and God's people. And so, in a sense, one is the battle that happens at the end of the ages and the end of the restoration of Israel, and the world comes against Jerusalem, and so God faces that struggle, faces it head on, and there is a battle. There is a little battle, literal battle. There is a literal valley of Armageddon. It's a place I've looked over the valley many times and look out from the Mount Carmel, and you can look out and see, and that's actually where it's going to take place, or at least a portion of it. But that will be a decisive battle, and then in the end of it, this influence of Satan again against God's people and against Israel will lead these nations that are now bound by Satan again at the end of the 1,000 years against God's people, and God will again step in and destroy the wicked and bring them to this place of final judgment, and God will rain fire and brimstone out of heaven, and they'll be consumed. These are two battles altogether. They are separated by 1,000 years, but they are essentially linked because the battles against the warfare against God's people connect these battles together. So, but they are physically separated from each other by that time period. Now, Brother Branham said it's the kingdom of God is what counts. He said, and we're all working for one place, and we want to be working for one principle. And that's for our Heavenly Father to get born-again children into that kingdom up there. And outside of that, we're working in vain. It's got to fall. It's of men. Outside of that, we're working in vain. It's got to fall. It's of men. The kingdoms of this world are falling. And Brother Branham categorically said that the world is falling apart. And that would include all the kingdoms within it. There is another kingdom that is not a kingdom of man, and that's the kingdom that doesn't fall or deteriorate, and that's the kingdom of God. And that kingdom we are a part of by the new birth, and that kingdom, actually a portion of it, resides in the heart of man, in the heart of those that are born again, the elect. And all other kingdoms will fall. So we happen to be living in a body that's failing, in a kingdom that's falling apart. But yet there's something very sound and very real and very solid in every one of us that are born again. And that's the kingdom that will remain. So therefore, when we think about death, therefore, when we think about the end of life, whether we think about the end of life personally and individually and the grave and so forth, or we think about the end of the Gentile ages when God will finally wrap it up, there is no ending to the Gentile people, the Gentile bride. because they carry on. They're a part of another kingdom. So God has actually translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Right? And that's His grace to us. We have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so therefore, there's no cessation to that. There's no ending of that. There's no perversion of that. And as a matter of fact, God has even allowed us to be able to store up treasures in that kingdom before we get there. Right? As we give and as we invest in the right things, we are actually storing up treasures in heaven. We may not get to physically enjoy them on this earth, but really, who cares? It's this kingdom is what counts. So when you think about, okay, you know, my job is not solid, or, you know, they're talking about laying off people at the plant, or, you know, there's changes coming and economic changes. And let me assure you, there's lots of changes down the pike. All of those things in this kingdom, even though we struggle to survive, like trees that are struggling to live, and we struggle to make ends meet, and we struggle to stay healthy, we struggle to, you know, raise our kids in a godly way and build character in their hearts, and all of those struggles that go on every day. And you know what? We can't abandon those struggles or abnegate them and give them to somebody else. We cannot give the raising of our children to the government. We cannot give the building of character in ourselves and in our offspring to another. That's our job. And so we struggle to do that. But remember, those are the things that matter, because we're getting ready to step into that kingdom. The things of this world really don't matter, because they're going to pass away. So we should not get too involved in the idea of holding on to this kingdom, or building ourselves a kingdom within this kingdom here. Just be ready that whatever you do, realize that it's going to slip away from you anyway. And so that changes our mindset, right? That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, you know, don't worry. He said, why don't we read it? Because I love this passage and I don't want to misquote it. Matthew chapter 7. My memory is not what it used to be. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot less than what it used to be, because it's Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, not for your yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Jesus says, look at them, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow, and toil not, neither do they spin. There's a higher power. There's an intelligence that's watching over the whole cycle of life. You didn't invent it. You didn't create it. You don't need to sustain it. You just need to observe it. And understand that if God can do that for nature and the elements of nature, my goodness, aren't you much more valuable in His sight? You are the purchase of His own blood. 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? 31. Therefore, here's the bottom line. Here's the summation. This is what you need to know. All right? Jesus says, in other words, if you didn't listen to anything else, listen to this. Take no thought. Don't encumber your mind saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't encumber your mind with that. Encumber your mind with verse 33. Don't get so caught up in 31 and 32. Get caught up in this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a finale of this chapter about priorities. Jesus is establishing the right priority, or the right way to think. Think about this. Don't think about that. Don't worry about, you know, will I find a husband? Will I have enough clothes to wear? Will I be popular? Will I ever get married? Don't think about that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your priority first and foremost. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all the rest of it. He knows you need food to eat. He knows you need a place to live. He knows you need a wife or a husband. He knows all those things. Take therefore, 34, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If I asked you this question, how many of you have ever worried about something that might happen the next day, and it never happened? And all of you would put your hand up, right? Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. So don't bother your mind. Don't fill up your mind. Don't encumber your mind with things that you have absolutely no control over and things that your Heavenly Father already knows about. You have only one thing to do in this whole list here, which is verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And then be assured that all the rest of this piece of the, all the rest of this picture will all be filled in with the stuff that your Heavenly Father already knows you have need of. So let's go back to the quote. It's the kingdom of God is what counts. That's what counts. That's what matters. So focus on that. Sow to that. Teach about that. Prepare yourself for that. And prepare your family to step into that. Into that kingdom. Because this kingdom is passing away very quickly. And don't get too bothered. Don't get too upset if you lose the things of this kingdom. And they slip away from you or they're taken away from you. If we lose our church, you know what? It's the kingdom that counts. It's not the church building that counts. It's the kingdom of God is what counts, right? If you lose your job, you know what? It is the kingdom of God that counts. Now, we got to get you another job, and we're going to pray that way. But you know what? The kingdom of God is what counts. We don't have enough money to make ends meet, and we all go through those seasons, and there are times when things are difficult and tight. But you know what? What really matters is that you fulfill this promise and this commandment that Jesus gives us to seek first the kingdom of God. And your Heavenly Father said, I've never seen the right, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so God has a way of bringing water where there was rain, where there was no rain. He has a way of bringing supply out of what you may not see yet. God will supply because He's Jehovah Jireh tonight. And we have to believe that. We have to trust Him for that. He's still a God of miracles, isn't He? So the natural man doesn't always understand this kind of language. The spiritual man does because we discern correctly. So he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So in other words, there, whatever event that takes place, you're going to look at it one way and you're going to have an interpretation of that event. The people of the world are going to look at the same event and have a different interpretation of it. Now, watch what Brother Branham says. Let me give you an example of this again. This is a great scripture, and I love it, and I love to come back to it. Just give me a few minutes here. Let's look at another example. We looked at one this morning in relation to the judgment cycle and so forth that took place. But let's look at this again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. He actually cannot know. He cannot see what God doesn't show him. But a man who is spiritual and has spiritual discernment, he is able to look at something. And if God gives him the ability to see, he's going to have not only an understanding of things, he's going to have a revelation of things. Because that's the way God communicates truth to a person. All right? Now, Brother Branham said this. 6 days, he quotes a scripture from Genesis here. 6 days God labored and the seventh day he rested. That's complete. 6 days he labored in the world, and the first 2,000 years, it was destroyed by water. Second 2,000 years, Christ came. This is the third 2,000 now. And then at the end of every 2,000 years, something happens. The world is shook back again. It's 6,000 years, and he built the world. 6,000 years, the church labors against the world. 7,000 is that 1,000-year millennial reign. So every 2,000 years, something happens. Now, what I didn't realize until recently when I began to study this and look at this a little closer, the Jews also believe in their study of time periods that there were three distinct periods that the Jewish history is divided up as well. So we have it marked as every 2,000 years, and Brother Branham clearly defines the first 2,000 years as from Adam to Noah, then from the second 2,000 years from Noah to Calvary, then from Calvary to now. And then 1,000 years after that, 7 days of creation, right? The Jews look at it this way. This is very interesting, and they'll help you understand how the Jews view things. Because remember now, the Jews are not looking through the same set of eyes that you have. Because you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? That's Jesus Christ today, Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and Jesus in the Old Testament. Right? Because he was back there, wasn't he? John 8, Jesus said, hey, before Abraham was, I am. Right? Jehovah of the old, Jesus of the new. So they don't see it that way. All right? So here's how they see it. Number one, it's the period called Tohu. And this is the fall from the fall of Adam to the calling of Abraham. That's the first time period. The second time period is called the Torah, which is from Abraham to the destruction of the temple. This is just before the exile, right? When they were taken out in the days of Nehemiah and so forth. So, fall of Adam to the call of Abraham. From Abraham to the destruction of the temple was the third time period. Number three is called the Messiah Age. It is from the exile and the restoration from the exile to the appearance of the Messiah. Guess where they are? They're in that third time slot, but they have no idea where the Messiah is because they missed him. Right? So they're still looking for the Messiah who has come 2,000 years ago. Why don't they see it? Because you see. They were blinded that you might be grafted in. Right? According to the book of Romans. So now this is how they look. This is the three divisions for the time periods for the Jews. And so from the restoration after the exile, they were brought out of Babylon. They're brought back into Jerusalem again. And they built the temple. They rebuilt the temple. They reestablished worship again back in the temple. And from that point on, they've been looking for a Messiah. They also believe, let's go a little further, that prior to the appearance of the Messiah will be what they refer to as a Nisaon. These are Hebrew terms, which is a time of testing where the world will go through birth pains before the Messiah comes. This is not message language now. This is Jewish language. So they actually believe that before the Messiah steps on the earth is going to go through birth pains. It's going to go through like a woman in travail giving birth. And that's why Paul uses those analogies in the book of Thessalonians and so forth, where he talks about, the birth pains that come, and then Jesus refers to birth pains. That's not something that's foreign to Jewish thinking at all. That's what they believe. They believe that before the Messiah would come, the earth would bring forth in travail. The Messiah just wouldn't walk out on a bed of roses. It would be a travailing, and all the earth and all creation would be giving way for the Messiah to step on the earth. They believe that that time of testing would begin 70 years before the Messiah comes, and it would narrow down to an intense time 7 years before the Messiah actually gets here. So for 63 years, it'll be a time of intensity, but then in the last seven, in that last squeeze, it will become really intense in that last 7 years. Now watch what Brother Branham said. Now the Jewish Orthodox Church, as the law is fading out, the gospel's coming in, and just as it's fading, there's got to be a new dispensation. So the woman is with child. And she's in pain and travail pains, being travailing in childbirth. In other words, the Roman Empire had her hunkered down and she was crying. The Jews were crying, oh, Messiah, come, oh, Messiah, come. Why would they be crying that? Because that's the age they're living in. When Jesus came on the earth, they didn't recognize their Messiah. But for instance, when Titus rolled into Jerusalem and destroyed it, hey, I'm only going to be another 5 minutes, so don't go to sleep. Wait, just wait for me here. All right? Seriously. Believe me. Because I try to keep it true and honest when I'm here. When Titus rolled into to Jerusalem, where did all the Jews go? Where did they go when they were besieged by an army around the walls of Jerusalem? Where did they go? They went to church. And they began to pray and call out, oh, Messiah, come, Messiah, come. Because they're in the age of the Messiah, believing that somewhere from the exile to the appearance of the Messiah, he's got to come sometime. And they'd missed Jesus altogether. And they believed now that this is that squeeze time when Titus is here outside the walls. Wouldn't you? Believing that this is squeezing Jerusalem and squeezing Jerusalem. They believe, wow, this is probably the appearance of the Messiah. And so they went down to the temple. They called out, oh, Messiah, Messiah. But you know what? They were not right. They were blinded. And Titus tore down the walls and burned the city and so forth and scattered the Jews and they went into exile, that you and I, the Gentiles, might come in over that 2,000 years. But you know what? They're back in the land again, and all the earth, all the nations of the earth, have birthed Israel out of their nations and into the land of Israel, which is born in great travail. Israel was not born in ease. Israel today was born in travail. And they still fight, and they still labor, and they still guard their land, and they still have armies at the ready, and they live with their fingers on the trigger in a very tough neighborhood, trying to push back the forces that would destroy them. And you know what they're doing? They're getting ready to give birth to that Messiah that will come. Because that's the age you're living in. We're not waiting for the birth of Messiah. We're waiting for Joseph to dismiss his bride and put her in the palace so that we can go to the wedding supper, and then the Messiah can be born on the earth among the Jews again. Does that make sense? So that's why they would call for, O Messiah, come. So in these time periods now, in Jeremiah chapter 37, they believed that this 70-year time before that the Messiah is born on the earth is what's called Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Israel will go through great travail in establishing their nation again, but he shall be saved out of it. Why shall he be saved out of it? Because finally the Messiah will stand there, and the Messiah will deliver Israel, right? So the Jews actually believed that there would be a time called Jacob's trouble. They're forecasting, they're prophesying. Jeremiah's prophesying a time called Jacob's trouble. This is not some name that they gave here in social media. This is actually what Jeremiah said. There will be a time called Jacob's trouble, and he will be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass that in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So in other words, I'll go to those nations where Israel is and break their yoke off their back. They'll be free. If you have a yoke, if you've got a yoke that, a shoulder yoke that holds your arms in place, you can't do anything. You're bound, right? And he says, I'll come and I'll break that yoke off their back and they'll be free. And when they're free, where does a true Jew go? He goes back to Israel. And I will burst their bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Not physical David, but the son of David, who is Christ the Lord. He will rise up again in Israel, right? Are we okay? And that's the age the Jews are living in. They're living in that time where they believe that, there's a coming of the Messiah, and he'll actually be birthed into being again. And they've waited a long time. And this is exactly what the steps are. This is what the process is until Israel comes back in their land and begins to view this time again. And that's why they believe in Malachi chapter 4, if you don't mind, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1, which we read. Malachi's writing, prophecy, he says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Again, you watch those prophets, they're describing battles that will come wherein the Lord will be the victor and all of the wicked shall be consumed. They will be destroyed. They'll be taken away from God's people. And a day shall come that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So Israel is looking for a Messiah that will vanquish its enemies, just like, when the disciples, even they looked at Jesus when they were there. And based on this scripture, they thought, okay, he's going to throw the Romans out. And he's going to free us so that we'd be a free people and we'd be able to walk out on the ashes of the wicked and the Son of Righteousness shall arise. I mean, we're connecting that you, Jesus, are this person and, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Right? That's what they were asking him. Because according to the scripture, what they believed, and remember now, without the mind of the Lord, without spiritual discernment, which you read in 1 Corinthians 2, You're going to attach an interpretation to this verse if you're a Jew without the mind of Christ. Aren't you glad you got the mind of Christ? So we can look at this now and we can realize that's the millennium he's talking about when we walk out on the ashes of the wicked. But the Jews are still looking for a Messiah to take the kingdom back and establish Israel as a free nation, a powerful nation again under the rule of the Messiah. Wow. And that's the way they look at it. That's not the way we look at it, but that's the way they look at it. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. In other words, he'll be a defender of the righteous, and he will destroy the wicked. And that's what they kind of look for Jesus to do. Like, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? If you don't mind, can you hurry up and destroy the Romans? Can you reduce them to ashes like Peter reduced his lunch one day to ashes? Can you do that? And can you just vanquish them if you don't mind and drive them out? Because we want to be free. It was Israel's desire, based on Scripture, that Israel would be free. God didn't want Israel to remain down in Egypt forever and ever, right? He sent him a deliverer to get him out. It's not God's desire for Israel to be under the Romans. And so they're thinking, all right, the Messiah is going to come, and when he comes, this is what he's going to do. Jesus, we believe you're the Messiah. Are you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? Are you going to, make Israel powerful and free again? So that we don't have the wicked, you know, holding us down and making us servants and putting us in bondage and having to pay taxes like we do. Aren't you going to do that? And Jesus said, you know what? You got the right person, but you got me in the wrong slot. There's another slot where that happens, and it isn't now. And they had no idea it was going to be a 2,000-year slot. But thank God for the 2,000-year slot, because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't a 2,000-year slot. You're the reason for that 2,000-year space. And so God brings us in. But let me tell you, it ends. Because every 2,000 years, something happens. Keep in mind, our calendars are off. There's a bunch of them. They're off. And they're really not able to measure accurately exactly where we are in time. But I will tell you, there is one timekeeper who never fails. There's one timekeeper who's got it all logged out in his logbook. And he knows exactly when this thing is supposed to wind up. Just like he knew the day that Noah had to get in the ark. Right? And God's got it all under control. You just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you. And God's got it figured out when. Don't worry about when. God's got that figured out. You'll never do it by looking at natural calendars. You can look at Israel all you want, but you'll never really figure out exactly the day. Because for some of you that thought it was last Friday, we all were in for a rude awakening. Guess what? We're still here. And I'll tell you what, you'll never really figure that out mentally or try with numbers and dates and Hebrew calendars. And you'll never really do it because, you know what? That's in God's hands. Jesus said, I don't even know. My Father in heaven knows. Well, I got a piece of advice for you. Don't try to bother to figure that out. Right? Let Him figure that out. You do your part. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's stand to our feet. I told you. I don't mean to make light of it, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we understood. When the more we look at this, the more we see there's an awful lot that's pointing to this hour. There's an awful lot that's pointing to this hour. And the way the Jews look at it is differently than how we look at it. And there's been a season where from Adam's time to Abraham's time, that was a season. And then from Abraham's time to the exile, that's another season. The Jews it's well documented. They believe that that was a segment of time where the Jewish dispensation was. And then finally, this last dispensation, the thing to happen for them is the coming of the Messiah. What a tragedy. They missed it. But they did. And now we're at the point where, like Joseph wanted to reveal himself to his brothers, now we're at a point where, imagine how Jesus must feel to want to reveal himself to Israel. We're at that point. What this all hinges on is the dismissal of the bride. It all hinges on the dismissal of the bride. My goodness. What an hour. What a time that we live in. What a time, I believe, that matters. This is a time to me that matters what we do. I wonder, could we sing that little chorus? And let's sing in the key of C, if you don't mind. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, He's God with us. Emmanuel.
And He's gone with us.
Father, we thank you for this time that we're living in where your prophet encouraged us in a very simple way. He said, you just keep walking in the light and watch more unfold and reveal itself. Lord, we feel like we're living in the snowball effect of the opening of your word. It's just becoming greater and greater and more intense all the time. Lord, that in itself, whether we realize it or not, is building rapturing faith in our hearts, influencing us to have supreme confidence in you and in nothing else. We want to say tonight we love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're still dealing with hearts and bringing those in that should be in that ark of safety. Now, Lord, I pray, deal with all of our hearts. Keep us true. Lord, help us to focus upon the thing that really matters, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you love us and you care for us. We thank you for your tender mercies. Have your way now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Again, if there's anybody else who would like to desire to walk in the waters of baptism, you're certainly welcome to do that tonight. Sing it again. I'm going to turn over to Brother Ben. God bless you this evening, and keep us in your prayers if you don't mind. God bless you tonight.
His name is called Emmanuel, for he's God with us, revealed in us. His name is called cares upon you, and I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and any time that I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Let's sing it again. Will I cast all my cares upon you? And I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and any time I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. And change my heart, O God. Well, may I be like you. For you are the potter, well, and I am the clay. Mold me
change my heart, oh God. Will may I be like you. Let's sing that verse again. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Is that your prayer? Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Will may I be like you. You are the potter. You are the potter. Will and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Lord, this is what I pray. Change my heart, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Will may I be like you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands and I sing out a love song to Him. Amen. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love. Like these, well, in moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus, and in moments like these, I lift up my hands. To Him singing, I love you, Lord.
Proof that God
God deals with people who are far from the kingdom. Amen. And he had a connection with this church through Brother James, and now he has the real kind of connection that he needs to make. Amen. We're not in this church by flesh and blood. We're in this church by revelation.
Amen.
And he's making the right step, and I told him today that that's not the devil that's leading him to do this, because the devil never leads you to obey God's word.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit that guides you and leads you in the path of obedience to God's word. And so this is exciting. This is the right thing. What you're looking at is the perfect will of God.
Amen.
And so we need to pray for Jeremy and just pray that the Lord will put his life inside of him and quicken that seed gene of God and just make him a new creature in Christ, because that's what we want to see. We don't want to see the same old Jeremy. We want to see a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
So Jeremy, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, as we lay our hands on Jeremy, we just commit his life into your hands, Lord. And thank you for your drawing power and that Spirit, Lord, which works in his life and has reached down in his mercy and just touched Jeremy's life and brought him to this place. And now, Lord, he goes down in death. He comes forth a new creature in Christ. We pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, you would cause him now to walk in your statutes and in your commandments. Father, we just pray that you would just take control of this life now for your glory. And may he live a life that honors you. Father, we thank you for your mercies to him and the forgiveness of sins. Bless him, I pray. Take him into your arms now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Jeremy, based on your profession of faith and your desire to walk in obedience to the commandments of the Lord Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are delighted to be able to stand with Caroline today and be able to lead her in this step of faith for her and step of obedience. And this is something that God has done in her heart. And she's not here because of the crowd. She's not doing this for any other reason except God is doing the drawing. And she is the answer. This is the answer tonight to many people who've been praying for her. She may not know that, but there's been lots of people specifically praying for her. And I know Mike and Angela are, and Sister Angela is watching tonight by the connection, and a very proud grandmother. She said she's blessed beyond measure to see Caroline make this step tonight. So she's with us in spirit tonight, and we're just honored to be able to do this ordinance for Caroline. And again, we want to pray for these that have taken this step and just pray that the Lord will reach down and take control of their lives and quicken them and just help them to walk in newness of life, because that's what it's all about. Father God, we lay our hands upon Caroline this evening and pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would take her young life, and Lord, may she just walk now according to your commandments and statutes, Lord, and may she become a new creature in Christ, not the same old girl, but Lord, now a daughter of God and one who is pointed towards the kingdom. I commit her to you, Lord. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord Jesus, we just know that you have a plan for her and a desire for her life, and we're just praying that you will fulfill that desire now as she surrenders her life to you. Fill her with your Holy Spirit in a real way, Lord, not just following the habits of a church, but Lord, in a real way, take her under your wing. We commit her to you in Jesus Christ's name. Caroline, based on your desire to walk in obedience to the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ, baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God is good, isn't He? Amen. Let's sing that song, God is good, all the time. Put a song of praise in my heart and mind. Amen. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Well, if you're walking through the valley and there are shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. And He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And His word is good. God is good all the time. Puts a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. My God is good all the time. Well, we were sinners, so unworthy. Yet for us He chose to die. He filled us with His Holy Spirit so we could stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good. It's a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. My God is good all the time. Let's sing it again. Well, God is good all the time. Puts a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, real God is good. My God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. Even in the darkest night, amen, there's still a little bit of light there, amen, that people are still coming in. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Let's sing that song, Feeling So Much Better, the key of F, talking about this good old way. We know that? Well, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Well, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Well, feeling so much better, talking about about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let us go on talking about the Lord. Well, the devil, he don't like it talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on talking about the Lord. Victory is mine, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. First verse. Well, when I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. Amen. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. I got up singing and shouting the victory. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Well, love is mine. Yes, love is mine. Love today it is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Love today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. Amen. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, help me please. I got up singing and shouting the victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Amen. We're going to sing one more and then we'll prayer and be dismissed. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. We'll take up your cross. Amen. Every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Oh, count up the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him. Yes, take up your cross and follow Jesus. We'll take up your cross. We'll every day.
be ashamed. Oh, to say that you know Him. Count up the cost. Oh, take up your cross and follow Him. One more time. Yes, take up your cross and follow Jesus. We'll take up your cross. We'll every day. Don't be ashamed. Oh, to say that you know Him. Count up the cost. We'll take up your cross and follow Him.
Let's bow our heads. We're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to You, Lord. I continue to be amazed, Father, how You just know exactly where to touch us and where to meet us on our level, Father, just to cause us to strive a little harder, Father, to work to be closer to You, Lord. We're thankful for that, Lord. Thankful, Father, that You're still bringing souls in, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, specifically for our brother Jeremy, sister Caroline, Father, Lord, that in the coming days, Lord Jesus, that You'll bless them. You'll strengthen them, Father. And if Satan comes to buffet against them, Father, tell them they're not saved or tempts them, Father, that You will be there, Lord Jesus, just to let them know, Father, that You're their friend, Father. You're their best friend, and You're there no matter what the situation is. Lord, we just ask that You'll bless them both, Father. Lord, we just ask a special prayer request for our pastor as well, Lord. Bless him, Mark. Give him strength. We appreciate so much, Father, how he puts himself out there every week for us, Lord. Lord, and often we don't know everything that he goes through during the week and what he battles, Father. Lord, we just ask that You'll give him and Sister Becky strength, Father, and give them a special blessing this week as well, Lord. Lord, we ask that You'll be with us, Lord, through this week and bring us back at the appropriate time to Your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing that song as we go. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I believe it's F. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord He hath made. This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
This is the day. This is.
I'm my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love.